Amen. Okay, well, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes, so find that and stand with me. We'll read our text, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ever walk into a room and forgot why you went in there? I know I've said that before. Oh, man, ever make a decision and then after you made that decision, like the next day, you have that that feeling like, I think I made a mistake. You know, we do that pretty regularly too, don't we? You know, just like we walk into a room. I did it this morning. I walked all the way from my office over to my house, which was like 25 feet. And I walked in there and I realized I don't remember why I came in here. And that was frustrating because that was a long way. It took me like 30 seconds, you know, and I thought, you know, I'm going to have to walk all the way back over to the office and then remember, you know. Well, just like that's true, and it is, that we tend to be that way. It also is true that we can be impulsive, and we can do things. And then, after we did it, we look back and think, you know, I'm not sure God was in that. And what you really mean is you made a decision, and in your heart, you know God wasn't in it. Well, we can avoid that. We can avoid those times. And that's what we're going to talk about in this text. So follow as I read, beginning in verse 5. Chapter 10, 5 through 10. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. See that, how he called it an error? You know, that word literally means a mistake. Error means, in this context, it means mistake. So he's acknowledging, whoa, I made a mistake. Well, what did he do? Verse 6. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places, or in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. You know what those two verses are saying? It's reverse. Where I see this, it really should be this. And where I see a servant on a horse, that's not the way it should be. It should be the reverse of that. So he's acknowledging an error, something that is a problem. Verse 8, he goes on with this same idea, brings analogies to it. He that diggeth the pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent, that's a snake, by the way, shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith. And he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do, in other words, it's not sharp, and he do not whet the edge or sharpen the edge, then must he put to more strength. But you know what fixes all of these issues, all the way back to verse 5? But wisdom is profitable to direct. And that's really the answer. That's what we need. So, Father, we love you today. We again, one more time, pray for your blessings. Guide us where we need instructions, Lord. And sometimes in the Word, we know there's instructions, and that's the case today. So I pray you'd instruct us where we need it and help us to acknowledge that there might be a time where we have this tendency so that we could correct it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, being impulsive is a tendency that we all at times have. I remember in college, I got a loan, but not to do something productive, but I purchased two brand new suits with that loan. You know, and I'm in college. I don't have enough money to buy soup at the restaurant, you know. But yet, I got a loan so I could buy two new suits. And I would say after the aftermath of that, as I'm making payments on these suits with money that really I didn't have and just really struggled for that time until that was all taken care of, it was an example of those of that time in my life when I was impulsive and I did something and then I looked back and I thought, you know, I'm not sure that was a good one. You know, the lessons we learn as we, well, just live life, but then also the lessons we learn as we're trying to be the Christians God wants us to be. You know, as Christians, we should pray about things, shouldn't we? As Christians, as people who love God and want to serve God and want to do right, we should seek the Lord about the decisions that we make before we make those decisions. Amen. That should be the that should be what characterizes who we are as believers. That we would seek Him. That we would acknowledge, God, I need your direction in my life. By the way, that's a great verse, isn't it? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. It's the exact opposite of what we tend to do. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. That's what we need to do, but often we do things. And then instead of asking God for His guidance, we ask God for His forgiveness because of what we did or how we behaved. Solomon acknowledged that this is a tendency that mankind has. He doesn't want his people to live this way because it's unwise. Ultimately, when people live, or a nation lives this way, impulsive, then it will eventually destroy that nation. It will eventually bring them, because a lack of discernment will put them in a situation where it will bring harm to them, even if it's an accident. And that's what he acknowledges. That's what he points out in some of these metaphors that he gives, is that it doesn't have to be something that was purposeful or, in a sense, negligent, so that somebody put themselves in harm's way. But they're just doing what they do, and because they're not considerate, there's an accident. And so when somebody's living in an impulsive way that way, it will bring times of destruction when that's the characteristics of the character that we live with. And so Solomon wants his people to avoid this. And we need God's wisdom too. We desperately do. Look at verse number 5 again. He says, there's an evil which I've seen under the sun as an error. And so, as we pointed out in our reading, error here is talking about a mistake that was made. And this mistake was made because this ruler, this leader, was making decisions in his role, in his office, that was in a whim or in an impulse. He was motivated by something other than wisdom. And so because of that, he was doing things that, when you look back, or when you look at the aftermath, or when you look at the result, you would acknowledge, wow, this isn't something that is wise. This isn't something that's right. And what was he seeing? Well, he was seeing in verse number 6, folly is set in great dignity. Now, the word dignity there is a place of honor. It's a place of respect, and it's a place of, promotion. And what he's seeing is somebody who's a fool or is a folly, and they have the place of honor. So it's the reverse. Somebody with wisdom would see that. Somebody with wisdom would see, somebody's in leadership right now, or somebody has a place of honor, and they shouldn't have a place of honor. And anybody who can see, anybody who has any kind of discernment at all, would be able to see that. Can we see that in our nation today? And that there's leadership in place. And when you look at the behavior or the actions or the direction that leadership is leading, it would be that of folly. So we would look at it and say, well, this isn't wise. This isn't discerning. What's the opposite of being considerate in decisions? Well, it's a whim. It's an impulse. It's somebody who's emotional, and they're making decisions based on those emotions. And that's what he's seeing here in verse number 6, folly and dignity. He says the rich sit in low places, so it's the exact opposite. Rich meaning, by the way, the implication of somebody who's rich here isn't just that they have financial status, but it's that they have the wisdom that goes along with what creates that financial status or that richness, which isn't always just monetary wealth. He's talking about somebody who has wisdom, and it's the reverse of what it should be. And he makes the same point in verse 7. He says, I've seen servants upon horses, which being upon a horse is a place of honor. It's a place of dignity and respect. And he sees servants there while he sees princes walking as servants upon the earth. And the reason why this is the case is because the leadership in a whim has put somebody in the wrong position based on some motive outside of discernment and consideration. Because whenever you slow down and you just consider and you think about the role and the responsibility and what needs to be done, and then you think about who qualifies to fulfill this role, then you'll put the proper person in place, in the proper position, in the right, and things will be right in the structure. And then anybody who sees it would say, oh, you know, I can see how this was thoughtful and how we were considerate and we didn't just throw things out there on a whim. It's sort of like ministry. We're trying to be, I was just talking, I think, Brother Jeremy before service, to be considerate about ministry of the church. In the bulletin, it talks about two ministries that, God willing, in the next few weeks will be structuring and rolling out, secretary ministry and the usher ministry. And there might be other ministries. Well, there's certainly other ministry that we will be structuring and rolling out and revising and equipping. And, you know, it'll all be for the use of the strengthening of God's people and the church and moving forward, right? It's all for the same thing. But you can't just roll a ministry out or move forward with something without considering the responsibility connected to that ministry. Who's going to do it? What is the role? What is the responsibility? You see, and so Solomon here is acknowledging that there are times when things aren't thought of thoroughly as they should. We're not thinking this through. And what's happening is people are put in the wrong position, and it has a destructive effect on those that are affected by these positions. It's destructive. Listen, you're like, well, Pastor, what does this have to do with me? This has a lot to do with you. Because in life, you have a lot, every day you make decisions. And if you make decisions on a whim, if you are used to making decisions based on how you feel and your emotions, and whether or not you feel like it today or whether or not you feel like it tomorrow, then you're going to be up and down like a roller coaster. And God doesn't want us to live our life that way. He wants us to be, as I've said before, like a train and not a roller coaster. And the only way we can do that is to be thoughtful and considerate, and consider through prayer and acknowledging God along the way so that He might direct our path. And Solomon's saying, but there are people who don't do this. Even in leadership roles, rulers who have an error, they've made a huge mistake. They put the wrong person in this position. And it really affects the future of those who are leading those ministries. He goes on and he explains how this works in everyday life as well. In verse number 8, look what he says. He that diggeth the pit shall fall into it. Now, this is somebody who just has the job. It's their career. It's their responsibility. Perhaps they're getting a paycheck to do it. And what they're doing is digging a hole. They're pit diggers, you know. I mean, we've all, like, done that, right? Like, we've had the shovel, and it's awesome work. We love that, you know. You know, my dad used to say, hey, why don't you go outside, dig a hole, and then fill it back in? Like, oh, well, what? You're bored, right? Let's go do that. You know, don't ever say you're bored to my dad. So he's a ditch digger, and he's digging. And I remember time, this happened to me a few times, actually, digging or being around digging and standing close to the hole. Just there's something about standing close to a hole that's being dug. I don't know. It's a guy thing, I think. And you're standing close, but the ground is not as secure when holes are being dug. And so the earth breaks off near there, and one of your legs falls in. Or maybe you just fall in to the hole. I've had both of those things happen. Well, that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about somebody, their job is to dig trenches or holes. And while they're doing their job, they're not thoughtful and considerate. They're not giving attention. And so because of that, they fall into the hole. He goes on, gives another example. Verse number 8. Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So this is somebody who breaks down walls, breaks down, barriers. And in that responsibility, the breaking down of barriers, sometimes along the way, you're just doing your job and there's a serpent there or a snake. I remember hiking into the canyon, this was years ago, but on my way in, just kind of going down into the canyon, and there was one of those red and black snakes. Are those the bad ones? I can't remember. Anyway, it was bad to me. It's a snake, it's bad. You know, they all deserve to die. That's my opinion about it, you know. So brought sin into the world, and that's all I need to know. So there's a snake, and it's right under where my foot's about to go. And so I did that little hover thing, where it's like, whoa, and then just sort of did, I think it was, God gave me something, and I just sprung over and skipped two or three steps down the mountain there and looked back, so snakes, they need to be avoided. Well, somebody who's doing their job, fulfilling their role, breaking down walls, that along the way, behind the wall, there's a snake. Now, somebody who is bitten by a snake is somebody who's not considerate. They're not thinking. They're not alert. And so because of that, they're hurt. They're harmed. And that's the danger. He gives another one. Let's see, verse number 9. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith. This is just somebody who breaks up stones. I mean, you can imagine the danger in taking a sledgehammer to stones. There's just shards of stones that are flying everywhere. It reminds me of Brother Glazeman, actually, who made it to Kansas, and thank you for your prayers, but he almost lost his eye, and he has permanent eye damage, and there is a chance that in the next couple of years he might lose his eye because he's cutting tile, and one of those tile pieces in the process of cutting tile for a floor, it hit him in the eye. He didn't have the goggles on. That's a tough way to learn. You need to wear goggles. But that's the danger inherent with doing work like this and rock. And somebody who's not considerate or thoughtful, they'll be in danger to be harmed by the rock, the very rocks that they are breaking up. Now we're going somewhere with all this, but track with me here. Let's see, the verse 9, the last part, it says, he that cleaveth wood or chops wood shall be endangered thereby. Now that's just like the rocks. I mean, you're chopping wood and there's danger. I mean, it would be terrible if when you swing that axe up and then the axe head flies off. Run! I mean, where's it going? But we would chop wood, not with an axe, with one of those, not a hatchet, the machine ones that he chops it. Yeah, thank you. You know what I'm talking about, right? So those giant logs, they fall off of there onto your feet. I mean, it happens every time to me. Every year. As a matter of fact, not every year. Every time we would chop wood, one of those things is going to roll onto my foot. Plus, I have four boys. At least half of them aren't paying attention all of the time. So we're grabbing wood and we're throwing it. And then we're looking at where we're throwing it. And then somebody's in the way, hits them in the leg. It's just going to happen every time. You're working with wood, you're chopping wood, and the idea is if you're not thoughtful and considerate, then you're going to get hurt. So there's danger there. And as you can see in all of these things, the answer is to be thoughtful and considerate, to be mindful, to think it through. Look at verse 10. And now he's going on with the analogy about the wood chopping. And then he says, if the iron be blunt. So in other words, now we have somebody who's chopping wood, but their axe isn't sharp. And so he doesn't sharpen the axe. Why? Because he's not thinking about it. He's just getting out there with a dull axe and he's just chopping away. But he's going to expend more energy. Why? Because he didn't think it through. So what Solomon is doing here is he's showing an error by the leadership who are putting people in position because they're impulsive. They're moving on a whim. But he's also showing the other side of the same idea that there are times when just living life, when you're not just impulsive and on a whim, but you're not thinking things through. And you're being impulsive so that you're not being considerate of what this is going to do in the future. This decision and how it will affect not just you, but the people around you. And so Solomon is saying, it would be wise if we would pause, if we would slow down, if we would be considerate about the decisions that we're making. You know why this is so powerful? Because we need this. We need this desperately because as God's people, the Spirit of God bringing conviction, we can ignore what God wants to do. We cannot acknowledge Him, and just move forward based on what we think is the best choice or the right move. And that's our tendency. That's the struggle that we have. That's the struggle that we need God to help us to control in our life. It's sort of like for me when I go to the grocery store and I'm hungry. I'm throwing stuff in there. It doesn't need to go in there. Because I'm impulsive when I go grocery shopping. My wife knows that. I mean, she sends me to the grocery store. I promise you, stuff is going to be bought that was not on the list. And there's a solid chance stuff on the list did not get bought. You know, I'm impulsive. And we can relate to that, and it's true. But it's also true that we can be whimsical in our decisions in life that are important, so that we decide to leave things because of how we feel. We decide that maybe I'm going to quit because of how I feel about this. Our feelings are deceptive. Your feelings are deceptive. Your heart will tell you something that isn't true. And so what happens is we end up listening to our heart and making a decision on a whim or an impulse instead of slowing down, thinking about it, praying about it, being considerate of what God wants and how might this affect the future, and then make a decision based on that counsel. What does the Word of God say? You know, if God plainly says it, we probably should listen to that, don't you think? But sometimes we make decisions and then we decide to think about what God says about it. You know, this is how I feel. This is what seems right to me. This is what seems like it's going to be the best thing because of my circumstance. Now, I know what God says, but we're not going to think about that right now because it seems like this is the best choice for me right now. And that's a whimsical choice. And when you live impulsive in your decision making, it will hurt you. It will hurt you. So that you'll look back and you'll think, man, this was not wise. I'm in a very dangerous situation right now because of my impulse. How many of you like to read the instructions when you buy something? Raise your hand. Okay. Not very many hands. I kind of expected that. You read the instructions before you tried to put it together, right? I don't do that. You know, I usually try and then read the instructions because I can't figure it out. And I'll also say this. If there's not any pictures, I mean, this is not good. I mean, we're in big trouble. I'm calling my wife in now. I'm like, okay, read this. You know what God is saying to us tonight, this morning? We need to slow down and read the instructions. Like, I don't like reading the instructions. No, most people don't like reading the instructions. But you're going to put it all together wrong if you don't. Stop, slow down, and be patient. Hey, Pastor, you don't know the situation. I don't need to know. But I do know this. You need to slow down. Amen. And you need to pray. Yep. And you need to seek God. One pastor said this. This was years ago, but he would always say this. When in doubt, don't. That's good. I mean, that'll save you from a lot of wrong, really, just really bad choices, won't it? Yeah. And we've all done that. I'm talking about small choices, small things that we've done, and then I'm also talking about big things that we've done, because we've all done it. So that we're whimsical, and we're following how we feel, what seems to make sense in the moment. And so a decision is made, a purchase is made, whatever it is. And then we look back and we think, you know, I really feel like maybe we should have waited on that. How about we decide that we'll go ahead and add that to our process now, so that we'll pray and seek God before we just make decisions based on what seems right, what feels like, what might be the, you know, for us in this moment, the best choice. Our kids need us to guide them like that, don't they? Yep. Our children in the youth group and in the classes over here, they need to learn how to slow down. slow down. And we tell our kids, hey, slow down. You know, in their schoolwork, slow down. Did you read the instructions? Yeah, I read them. I don't know. A couple of my kids, they don't read the instructions. And they want mom to read the instructions, you know. We want our kids to slow down and be wise in their decisions. Don't be whimsical. Seek God. Pray. We need to live this way. What does God want you to do? Well, this is what seems right. Are you being impulsive? Have you sought the Lord? Are you being patient? Well, you know, I'm afraid that God won't let me. Well, I mean, that's sort of the point, right? Amen. When you move into a decision and you haven't sought God for peace, your heart will tell you this is right. Don't seek God. God might tell you you can't. So just do it and then look back. But here's what will happen. You'll put yourself in a dangerous situation so that it might be that decision will bring harm to you, falling into a pit. Or hit a shard hitting you and doing permanent damage to you because of a decision you made in an impulse, in a whim, because you didn't pray about it. You're too impatient. Listen, this is why you need to avoid salespeople at times. I mean, because they'll put pressure on you. You know why? Because they want to play on this tendency that we have to be impulsive. They don't like it when you say, you know, I'm going to think on this for a day. No! The deal will be over tomorrow. I mean, you want 89% off. You got to do it now. And they're pressuring you. Why? Because they want you to be impulsive. And that's a tendency we have. But not just in purchases. On little things or even big things. But in decisions in life. Whether we're going to move forward, whether we're going to quit, whether we're going to join, whether we're going to connect ourselves, whether we're going to do this or whether we're going to do that. Like James says, we need to seek God. We need to slow down. If you don't know with absolute assurance that God has given you peace, if you haven't sought God in His Word, if you make a decision and then you go to the pastor and say, hey, pastor, I made this decision. What do you think about it? You're not seeking counsel. You're telling the pastor the decision you already made. It might be along the way that we would slow down and get some counsel. Then, because of research and because of prayer and because of just being patient to let God guide us, then we make a decision. And we can know that God's blessings will be on it. Well, that's what he says, the last phrase, wisdom. Look at verse 10, the last phrase. But wisdom is profitable to direct, right? That's what we're wanting. And you're going to have that wisdom, you got to slow down. Stop being impulsive, get some counsel, and then make decisions. If you don't have time to slow down, seek God, pray, and seek counsel, then that you can already know that this isn't a good choice. It's not a good choice. I mean, we need to be patient. We need to wait. You know what we don't want to do? Is we don't want to look back and ask God to forgive us of decisions that we made because we were impulsive. And we live our life often that way. But we don't have to. If we would just be patient. If we would just slow down. How long did you pray about that? Oh, you know, I prayed about it. What do you mean? Like you prayed like for a couple minutes about it? You prayed on a Sunday about it? Why are you doing this? Well, I feel really good about it. Is it because you felt really good about it? Or because God is leading you? And it seems like everything that God is doing is lining up with this. There's a difference. Now, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I can't do that. I need God to direct me on what I need to do, just like you do. But I'm here to say that if we'll take counsel to this, if we'll just slow down and stop being whimsical and impulsive, start letting God direct us and pray about it before we do it. then it will save us from so much harm and so much danger. We just won't get some of the things that we really feel like we want. But you know what? You'll look back and you'll think, well, you know, I didn't really need that. You know, I didn't really need that. How many of you have shoes in your closet you hardly ever wear? Raise your hand. Okay. I see those hands, mostly ladies. I'll raise my hand. Mostly us guys. There's other things. Tools in the tool thing. You, all right, now we're there. All right. You know why? Impulsive. Watch out when I go to Home Depot, man. I mean, we don't have the money, but I want it. I'm telling you. I don't even know how I could use it, but that tool looks awesome. That's our heart. Don't make decisions on that. Let me finish with this. So I purchased those suits, right? And it was impulsive. I got a loan, friends. And I made payments on suits. It's not wise. I went to a banquet. I had one of those suits. I mean, I'm talking, this thing is woven from Italy. It says it in the tag. Italy, woven. I felt pretty good about my suit. I went to a banquet with my friends, feeling pretty cool because of my suit. And I'm just walking on the street, and I didn't see it, but there was this telephone pole with the wire that holds the telephone pole steady, but some of that wire was frayed out. I didn't see that. And we're just talking, and I'm really into my whatever I was saying, and my pants caught that frayed out piece of wire that was not forgiving. And it just grabbed into it and just laid open my hand, my, I don't know if they were hand woven, my woven from Italy pants, and it just flapped down. And so I had my pants, I just remembered going like this, no! And my hands were on both sides of that rip. And just like my pants ripped, my heart ripped right then, you know? That's what happens when you're impulsive. When you are impulsive, in the future, you're going to have that moment when you just realize, I made a huge mistake. But it doesn't have to be. If we'll just slow down. We're not going to do this yet, okay? Why not? Why not? Because we need to seek God a little more about this. We probably should get a little bit of counsel first. Let's pray about this. Hey, you know what? We're going to pray for 2 solid weeks before we make this purchase or before we make this decision or before we make this move. At least 2 weeks? Wow. Yeah, nonstop. And I'm talking about praying before you make the decision. So we're not praying, God, I made this decision. Will you bless it? No, no, no. We're going to go in reverse. And we're going to start at the beginning and we're going to say, God, if we stay, we will. If we don't, if we go, we'll, whatever. If we're going to purchase, we're going to, whatever the decision, you know. For 2 weeks, God, what do you want? My heart says this, but I don't want to follow my heart. I want to follow you. I'm going to get some counsel. I'm going to seek you. Ooh, if we would do that. Wisdom to direct. Wisdom to direct. You won't fall in a hole if you do that. You won't fall into a hole if you do that. You won't have shards of rock hitting you in the eye or logs rolling over your leg because somebody's not paying attention. No, no, no. We're going to think about it. We're going to pray about it. Let's not be impulsive. You know why? Because it'll hurt you. And that's what Solomon's saying. This is good help.